Good morning. In our prayers this morning, we've been, and yesterday too, talking and praying about those who've been affected by the storms. I was thinking while Eddie was making his remarks about sowing bountifully and reaping bountifully, how that is true for practically all of us. And as we have been given opportunity in the past to respond to the needs of other people and other congregations in other cities, even in other parts of the world, I am sure, Brother Stephen, we're going to be given that opportunity to help Mayfield, in particular, a city that we love, the home place of our brother Al Jean. I understand our sister Ann Hearn is also originally from Mayfield. Many outstanding students come from Mayfield and Benton and Murray and all that area. And our hearts are just broken because of what they're experiencing today. And I'd like for you to think in terms of putting yourself in their shoes. Some of you can because of damage that you've had even now or before. And to think what it would be like to be helped by those who love the Lord as you do and who want to help. Let's be thinking about that and planning for that. Emily, so good to see you. And the little ones. There's a new initiative, and you'll be very happy, I'm sure, to hear that our elders have a number of initiatives for 2022. That is always true as we close the year and as we get ready for a new year. One of those is, again, evangelism. What we've just been talking about would come under the category of benevolence, you know, helping people, giving to people, being generous and being gracious, helping to restore and so forth. But the clearest statement about the Lord's coming into the world as Paul was making his remarks is found in Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and save the lost. You can't get any more clear, more pointed than that. And if we're going to be his disciples, his representatives, then his mission must be ours as well. And so to think about that expression, to seek and to save, that is something that we want to think about today, not just happenstance, but by design, as again, we look forward to the opportunities that a new year will bring. Yet, the very word of evangelism, which has to do with the word gospel or glad tidings or good news, the act of, we consider it to be as a people one of the most difficult things to do. You know, a lot of us do not have any trouble being social or sociable, but when that social goes into being spiritual, we have difficulty sometimes knowing how to make the transition. I want to be more evangelistic. I mean, that's a statement that I'm making, but I'm sure that you do as well. And I believe that before the Lord, in the Lord's presence, that we're speaking as one, that we want to be more evangelistic. Let's think about just four things out of many that could be suggested. I have a lesson that has a lot more suggestions than the time that we have allotted for this one. So, let's think about, first of all, letting people see our life. Notice the statement does not say, letting the people see us. That is to say, as if we're looking for people to say, look at us. No, that's not what we're saying. We're talking about the idea of being visible outside this church building. But as a representative of those who gather in this church building, in terms of all the people that we have the opportunity to meet and to mingle and really to share our life otherwise, when I think about what the Lord did, the Lord certainly did that. In the text that Sark has just read, he mentioned about specifically alone now as he began his ministry in Matthew 4, he began, first of all, by seeking those who would help him, seeking disciples. Could very well be that Peter, Andrew, James, and John, the first four that are mentioned here as commercial fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, were men who had had some previous exposure to the Lord. Because think about, it would have to be a very unusual circumstance or situation or personality who could go up to four men who are making their living and saying, you know, drop the nets, leave the boat, come and follow me. And rather than being fishermen, I will make you fishers of men. And they do it immediately. And so what the Lord did was, even though it was his mission to seek and to save the lost, he needed help. And the Lord sought the help of those that he had come to meet in Capernaum, which would become the Galilean base of his ministry over those 3 years. And he found four good men. And John 1 tells us the story that he found more good men. It is there that we again have the mention of Andrew. It is there that we have the mention of Philip. It is there that we have the mention of Nathanael. And those additional two, Philip and Nathanael, will become apostles eventually as well, after a period of teaching and training and development. But the Lord lived an open life. Mark 12 and verse 37, there is the statement that says the common people, if there was a distinction to be made between royalty and common, if there was a distinction to be made between those who depended upon their wealth as opposed to those who had no wealth, just the common folks, they heard him gladly. They heard him with great anticipation. And so he was out there. And then Matthew records on 16 different occasions, or at least 16 times in these 28 chapters, he mentions multitudes. In other words, the Lord exposed himself to multitudes. Not just tens, not just hundreds, but thousands followed him. And so he had to expose himself to them in terms of who he was and what he had to say and what he had to offer, what he had to promise. And so he was out there, and his life was lived in public. What is it that we can do? Any number of things. But one of the initiatives that we're going to be talking about for the coming year is to be more community-minded. Community-minded. Now, let me say this about the Henderson Church. The Henderson Church, in its history, has tried practically every evangelistic tool and approach and method of which I'm aware. The fact that some of you who have become members of the church or members of the family more recently are not aware of some of the evangelistic efforts does not mean, as Bill said in his opening remarks, that the church is evangelistic. Some of you would not be here if the church was not carrying out its mission. But we want every seat in this auditorium to begin. And I'm grateful that with the coming of Robert and Emily and their children, that we're beginning a new era and that we're going to be working together to try to be more community-minded as well as world-minded, because the Great Commission is indeed world-minded, but it starts where we are. And so we're encouraging you, and we'll be encouraging you, to find ways to be involved in our community more. Now, there are some of you who touch the community every day by what you do. I think about teachers who have students, whether little ones or older ones, and the relationship that you have with them, your fellow teachers, your administration, your parents of students. What a tremendous impact. I'm thinking here of the Lord's terms, salt and light. Now, this is not to say, okay, I want you to notice me. No, no, no. Excuse me. It's by being out there and being involved in community events and community projects that they can see who we are and what we are and possibly develop interest, especially when there is added to the presence a word of encouragement. And so we have so many activities. that happened in this building. Joan and I were returning home yesterday, and we came by, you know, from a little overnight trip, and we came by the building and wondered what in the world was the event that was going on in this building yesterday. And we learned this morning it was the wedding of the granddaughter of our brother Jimmy Burton. You know, it was a beautiful occasion, a great number of people attending. But you know, there are day activities, there are early evening activities, there are sometimes late night activities that are going on at the building that as a whole we would not know anything about. It is a very busy place. Our office is a very busy place. In fact, sometimes a crazy place, right, Jennifer? I mean, a crazy place. But good is being done every day. Now, we don't keep it there. We carry with us when we go. I think about dealing with merchants. You know, I want to have a good relationship with whoever is my medical person, don't you? I want to have a special relationship. I want to have that kind of relationship with my pharmacist or with an accountant or with a banker or whatever, grocer. I don't want to go in and cause a stir and cause problems and fuss about things and be angry about things and frustrated and all that kind of thing. I want them to know that I appreciate whatever it is that they do, and therefore I appreciate them, and hopefully develop a relationship that over time, you never know where that might lead, but eventually we're going to have to say something, aren't we? And so being involved in school events outside this building, in community events that we have, we go to the community, even like our beautiful bags that you've prepared for today for distribution. I wish that we could take those to every member in the county or every person in the county. But serving those who deserve to be served from among our own numbers is a wonderful thing to do. That is a courage transfusion. And those are the kinds of things that we can do. Volunteering for things, making visits to people, making use of the phone, making use of the internet, making use of texts. All those kinds of things are means of contact, where you are not saying, look at me. You're saying, look at the Lord that I love. Look at the Lord that I serve. Okay, secondly, talk to people about the church, and let's see what the Lord did. John chapter 1, there's a question that is asked by some of the early disciples that become apostles. Lord, where are you staying tonight? And the Lord's response was, come and see. In other words, drop what you're doing, come follow me from now on, and you will see where I stay from day to day and night to night, because he had no home of his own. Later, interestingly enough, in the same chapter, Nathanael asked about, you know, this man that is proving to be most unusual. Could he be the Christ, the Messiah? Philip says, very simply, come and see. Some of you may have seen the track, really a little booklet, that was written a number of years ago by one of our brethren that has been published and republished hundreds of thousands of times, that just simply says, come and see. Well, somebody sees that and says, what in the world are they talking about? And it opens up, come and see the church of the New Testament. Come and see what the New Testament says about those who belong to the Lord are supposed to be, how they're supposed to worship, how they're supposed to live, and so forth. So the Lord not only did that by preaching and teaching and healing, and our healing is done through our encouragement and benevolent work, but he also did that through conversations. And you know about the personal conversations in John 3 and 4, with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman and the centurion that had a servant ill or a son ill. And in those particular occasions, he had conversations, many others. What we can do is to be involved in the activities that are specifically planned by our congregation. Already planned for the year are the special days that we have on Fifth Sundays. We have our youth program that very much needs volunteers, needs those to be included. Our young people need to be encouraged at every hand and helped in every hand. Our senior saints, we have a program for that that you could be a part of and help in. We have ladies' days. We have men's breakfast. I wish you ladies could attend that. It is absolutely fabulous. But, you know, inviting people. Now, I've already decided the next men's breakfast that we have, rather than enjoying that just by myself, I'm going to bring someone. And I want someone to be someone that is not a member of the church, someone in our community, someone with which I have a relationship. In fact, relationships have to be developed before really conversations can be had about the Lord. I mean, the way our culture is, we've got to be people who can be trusted, and therefore we can talk to people about our Lord, and that will mean more to them. I think that's one reason why that we think, oh, I'm not good at that. Well, we talk. We talk all the time. Develop relationship, and then from the relationship, conversations eventually come about whatever topic. Okay? Then number three, inviting people to our services. Again, the statement that was made by the Lord about come and see. Well, think about some of the other great statements that the Lord made, like in the great invitation of Matthew 11. You know, the invitation came as a result of a whole body of teaching in Matthew chapter 11. You know, it started out with a question that John the Baptist asked about, are you really the Christ or not? And the Lord goes on to explain not only evidence for John, but also a number of lessons for his disciples, before eventually saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so that was an invitation. As we go to the last chapter of the New Testament, and therefore the Bible, in Revelation 22:17, the Lord himself is again speaking about the Spirit and the bride say, come. And also in that chapter is the little statement that the one who opens the door when the Lord knocks at the door of your heart, the one who opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me, or I will eat with him and he with me. That is the way the Lord was. What it is that we can do is to regularly attend our services, obviously, but also invite others to attend our regular services as well. There was a lady converted once, just to give you one example, who attended a friends and family day at the invitation of a friend, and was not invited to come back at 6 o'clock that night, but she came back on her own that night, and it surprised the lady that had invited her, and she goes over to her and says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were interested in coming back tonight. I would have come and picked you up tonight as well. She had that morning. And the lady said, no, I did not want you to know. I wanted to come tonight to see if what you people said this morning is really true. In other words, outside a special event, just what are you, who are you all the time? And there again is the good thing about inviting people and developing their interest. We have so many special events, special activities. We have flyers that need to be distributed. We have all kinds of electronic and things that are on the web that we send out and are available. We have calls that need to be made. And just simply the question, will you worship with me this Sunday? And then lastly, inviting for people to be saved, praying for people to be saved. Here is something that the Lord did in Matthew 9 that is so impressive. Do you remember the story when he comes to the end of that chapter and Matthew says for the second time, okay, what did he do? He taught in all of their synagogues. He went out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, you know, everywhere. And then he healed all manner of sickness and disease. Well, right after that, the Lord says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Notice what he says. He does not say, pray for people to respond. He says, pray that God will raise up more laborers. In other words, there will be more of us who believe and obey the gospel and become laborers in the harvest that will bring forth the harvest of those who believe. I think that we limit ourselves when it comes to evangelism simply because we fail to pray about it like we should. It's not just a matter of praying about opportunities and praying about people being receptive, but to pray that God will be involved in raising up more laborers. You see, that's one of the great things we have going across the street. You know, those young people are being trained every day to be effective in the church wherever they go, and to be not just workers, but to eventually become leaders. And you're a vital part of that. And so that's what we need to do when we think about praying. The Lord also prayed a whole night before he chose the 12, Luke chapter 6. Then he prayed. He prayed all the time, but then he prayed a full chapter in John chapter 17, at the end of which he prays for you and for me. When he says, may all of those who hear the words of the apostles be one, as you and I are one, talking to the Father. And I think about, if Jesus depended on the power of prayer, how much more you and I need to depend on the power of prayer. And we fail sometimes because we simply do not include this kind of thing in our prayer life. Ask the Lord to open doors of opportunity for you. That song, Lead Me to Some Soul Today, should not be one that makes us feel guilty. It should be encouraging and inspiring. But it's also got to be first on our hearts. Give me the opportunity today. Pray for people by name. Pray for people specifically. It's easy to say, pray for those in foreign countries and so forth, and we fail to pray for the one living right next door or across the street, or someone in our family that definitely needs to come to the Lord or be brought back to the Lord. And then pray for the people that you meet for the first time. If you get their name, you say a prayer for them. Not necessarily on the spot, but you remember them. And then when you tell people that you're praying for them, don't say it unless you mean it. We're going to be praying a good while. Prayed a good while for those in Waverly recently. Going to be praying a good while for those in Mayfield and in other places. Now, just to summarize very quickly, let others see you involved in public activities where they will know you are a member of the Henderson Church of Christ, and to the best of your ability, you're trying to live an open life by the gospel. You know, an open life lived by the gospel has nothing to hide, really. Talk to someone about some of the church's many activities and invite them to come and see. Invite someone to attend specifically our worship services, and then pray daily for those who very much need the Lord. In closing, I'd like for you to do this right now. I would like for you to think about the one person who is the most responsible for you becoming a Christian. If everybody in the room will think and focus upon one person, could be two people in terms of mom and dad, or grandparents or something like that. Are you not grateful for what they have done for you? And you don't even know how many times that they have prayed for you, and if they're still with us, still praying for you. Are you not grateful beyond words for them? The one who introduced you to the Lord, the one who introduced you to the church? And you're never going to forget them, even though they may be gone. Now think about being such a person, not because you want any attention about it or anything like that. No, not at all. We are but servants. The Lord is the Savior. But think about how grateful people will be for you if you're the one that introduces them to the Lord. And we have far more opportunities than what we even recognize. Today, the Lord's invitation is extended to anyone who needs to become a Christian, demonstrating your faith by saying, I'm ready to make the kind of change that repentance makes when you turn from the practice of sin. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world, and the only Savior of the world. I want to be baptized into Him, immersed in Him, to unite in His death, burial, and resurrection. And as He came forth victoriously from the tomb, that we come forth from the watery tomb, cleansed as these beautiful newborn babies that are with us today. Not that wonderful? It's not only possible, it's doable. And it's doable right now. And if you're among those who need to come for prayer, for whatever reason, or you need to rededicate yourself just where you're sitting, let's do that. And let's make this new initiative of being more evangelistic as a congregation, let it begin with you and with me.